Blog Talk Radio.
The campaign to stoke hatred and total resistance of Trump marches on. The fact that Russia has dropped off the radar is irrelevant because now the left has a higher goal to posture that all Republicans and conservatives are, drum roll please, racists. If you're a conservative, if you're a member of the GOP, you're a racist by definition, even though the GOP started their party to get rid of slavery, but that doesn't matter. It's all a charade, folks. It's a political puppet theater. Haven't you noticed everything the left does boils down to one hoax after another? Good morning. It is Kelly here, Death Row Radio. We are in our last week, our last sprint towards the electric chair. 6:07, the 21st day. Today is your eclipse day. Jerry Lewis has passed on, a great entertainer and a humanitarian who raised $2 billion. $2 billion. Not in today's money, but he supposedly helped raise $2 billion for his causes. I'm trying to remember the disease. The Jerry Lewis telethon did. It's funny you can forget something like that, but incredible. Another thing is, the guy was a Trump supporter, believe it or not. So we have a number of things here, but let me state that anything you want to talk about is fair game. I'm just going to open the show up to the last week to anything you want to talk about. I'm going to have a few guests on, but pretty much I think the last guest is going to be Ben Rossin. The last day of the show is Thursday. I should say the last day of the format is Thursday. So I think it is technically possible that somebody like Adams Radio will turn one of their smaller stations into talk radio. It would be silly not to. I mean, their stations are really not, don't have giant audiences. So the upshot would be, or the question then would be, if they would want me to do a show for them and whether I would accept that. So I am looking forward to sleeping in, though, I can tell you that. But I'm going to be broadcasting. I was thinking I'd like to take a little time off. I haven't in 6.5 years, and I'm trying to remember. I started in September of 2011, so it's 6 years later, but for every year you add a month, so pretty close to 7 years, to be totally honest. Anyway, it's just kind of flown by. It has been interesting to hang out with you. It's been wonderful to get the reaction to the show, and nothing like it, you know. Now, I do have my text machine, 805-6180. Here's one. I'm just opening it up because I lost two phones, and one turned out to be in a bag, a little valise, briefcase. And then the other one was in another smaller bag that I had. So in any event, the other phone, the iPhone, is still on the blacklist, so I can't use it for another 2 weeks. Hi, Kelly. I just want to say that I listen every morning and will miss the show immensely. I feel that you are the greatest educator for our community. I especially enjoy your segments on various religions. I know you say that the new owner is a stand-up guy and maybe conservative, but my feeling is that the new owner, I know you say that the new owner is a stand-up guy and maybe conservative, but my feeling is that there could be some liberal pressure from our community members. Oh, well, it is what it is. And I listen to Rush on El Paso 690. Hopefully you on your internet show, new owner is making a big mistake. There are so many Spanish stations already. I really don't know. I mean, you can say that he's making a mistake, but he's in it for the business aspect of it. And anybody who owns a station has to be able to take care of the bottom line. So I'm just, I mean, for myself, I'm very tired. I'm exhausted. So I'm really not fighting this maybe the way that I could. But I mean, I don't have a beef with the owner. If he says that he's got to change the format to make money to save the station, then, you know, what am I going to say? So now, so anyway, yeah, it's great. It's been great. It's been to the high spots. One of the high spots of my life has been doing the show. So no doubt about that. All right. Depending on what you want to hear about, here's a little bit on the solar eclipse. It, by the way, starts at about 10:30, I believe, and is going to be crossing the United States. And the places that you can see it fully include Oregon, Idaho, Wyoming, et cetera, et cetera. So it's going to go across the United States. But now down here, it should be 63%. Occluded or blocked. Here is from KOAT from yesterday.
And there are tales of...
Let me just start this at the beginning.
Like the day turns to night, and there are tales of animals, like people too, getting confused. The most significant total solar eclipse in almost 100 years is on the way for the U.S. on August 21st. But for us here in New Mexico...
Maybe like a cloud is moving past the sun.
Well, let's just say you likely won't be panicked, but it will be visible.
If it's a sunny day, you definitely can see this.
For New Mexico, the farther northeast you are, the more the sun will be obscured. So Raton in far northeast New Mexico will have more than 80% of the sun covered by the moon. But in southwest New Mexico, dimming, only 62%. And for Albuquerque and Santa Fe, about three-quarters of the sun will be covered.
And during the eclipse, they'll have this UNM campus observatory open to the public so you can come check out this huge telescope and look directly at the sun. It should be really cool.
One thing you definitely don't want to do is look at the sun with your naked eye. You can get these special glasses to watch the solar eclipse, though.
Put them in front of your eyes and look up at the sun.
You can buy these at the UNM Physics Department for $1. And the proceeds go towards research. Reporting from the UNM Campus Observatory.
All right, here's a little bit more from Fox News. How to protect your eyes.
If you're catching a glimpse of the solar eclipse, do it properly or risk losing your sight permanently.
When we watch a solar eclipse, the light ray, the radiation from the sun, can actually damage our retina. And some of these damages could be transient and some of them could be permanent.
When the eclipse darkens the sky, that is not a signal to look up.
The sun emits the same amount of radiation, whether you can see the visible light or not. The problem during the eclipse is that you're going to be more susceptible to damage because you're not going to get the natural warnings of Mother Nature of the brightness to tell you to look away.
Everyone who views the eclipse needs to take steps to protect their eyes. One of the easiest ways to do this is to buy a certified pair of eclipse glasses.
When you purchase your solar eclipse glasses, make sure that they're labeled to indicate that they have been endorsed and labeled as ISO, which will indicate that they will protect your eyes.
You only need these glasses if you plan on looking directly at the eclipse. If you don't have them, there are other ways to view it safely.
Look underneath a tree for the projections of the sun, or just simply hold up your fingers together, make little holes between your fingers, let the sunlight shine down through that, and you'll get the same effect. It's called a pinhole camera.
If you're using a telescope or camera, they will need a special filter. The glasses will be no help.
Do not use a camera, a set of binoculars, telescopes, even your cell phone. Do not view through these, even if you're wearing the ISO stamped approved protective eyewear.
And while it may seem like a lot of preparation, experts say it is totally worth it.
if you're lucky enough to be in the path of totality, and assuming the sky is clear and this all doesn't happen behind the clouds, I can actually say to you, you're not going to be the same again. NASA has certified four manufacturers of eclipse glasses. They are Rainbow Symphony, American Paper Optics, Thousand Oaks Optical, and TSC 17. In Columbia, South Carolina, Therese Garner.
All right, and maybe one more from National Geographic.
A solar eclipse happens when a new moon moves between the Earth and the Sun, blocking some or all of the Sun's rays from reaching the Earth. By cosmic chance, even though the Sun is 400 times wider than the Moon, it's also 400 times farther away. Therefore, the two objects appear the same size in our sky. Astronomers are able to predict eclipses because the Earth and Moon have very predictable orbits. Why then isn't there an eclipse every month? The Moon's orbit is usually tilted a few degrees north or south in relation to the Earth. When the Moon does eclipse the Sun, it casts two types of shadows on Earth, a smaller, darker shadow known as the umbra, and a larger shadow known as the penumbra. There are four types of solar eclipses. The first and most spectacular is a total eclipse, when the Moon completely covers the Sun's surface. A total eclipse can only be seen if you're standing within the umbral shadow. That's why the imaginary line created by this shadow as it races across Earth is known as the path of totality. People within the penumbral shadow see only a partial eclipse, the second type. From this view, outside the path of totality, the Moon passes in front of the Sun off-center, never fully covering its surface. Third, an annular eclipse occurs when the Moon passes directly in front of the Sun. However, unlike a total eclipse, the Moon appears too small to fully cover the Sun. The Moon's orbit is elliptical, so sometimes it's closer to Earth and sometimes it's farther away. Last, a hybrid eclipse is when the Moon's position between the Earth and Sun is so finely balanced that the curvature of the Earth plays a role. The Moon will be farther away from some parts of Earth along the eclipse's path, resulting in an annular eclipse. In other parts, the Moon will be just close enough to fully cover the Sun, resulting in a total eclipse. While a total solar eclipse happens somewhere on Earth every year or two, any given point on Earth experiences the event only about once every 400 years. We interrupt this video for an important safety announcement. Looking directly at the Sun, even during an eclipse, can cause permanent eye damage. Fortunately, there are ways to enjoy an eclipse safely. The easiest is to use certified eclipse-watching glasses, which are shaded thousands of times darker than typical sunglasses. You can also look at the eclipse indirectly by making a pinhole viewer. Simply poke a small hole in a piece of cardboard. Hold the cardboard up to the Sun, allowing the Sun's image to be projected onto a flat surface. Be sure to look only at the surface and not through the cardboard. Just before the Moon completely covers the Sun, low-lying valleys on the Moon's edge will be the only spots that sunlight continues to pass through. These remaining brilliant shafts of light, known as Bailey's beads, will disappear one after another. And finally, a single bead of light remains, known as the diamond ring, signaling that you're just seconds away from experiencing totality. Once the last bead disappears and the Moon completely covers the Sun's surface, the view through your eclipse glasses will be pitch black. Totality achieved. At this point, none of the Sun's rays are reaching your eyes, and it's the only time that it's safe to take off your glasses. Remember to put your eclipse glasses back on before any of the Sun's rays start to peek through again. Any sunlight reaching your eyes, even for a few seconds, can cause serious damage. While an eclipse can last a few hours, totality typically occurs for less than 3 minutes. Animals and plants have also been known to alter their behavior during a total eclipse. Songbirds may stop singing, crickets may start chirping, and flowers may even start to close up. We won't always be able to see total solar eclipses. The moon moves about 1.5 inches away from Earth each year. It's estimated that in about 1 billion years, the moon will be too far away from Earth to completely cover the sun.
All right, folks, so we've got a little bit of Hank Williams for you. I saw the light. I didn't see the light, depending on where you're at in the country. We will be right back. 523-1450, 805-6180. Got a guest coming on, candidate for an office. We'll be right back.
I wondered so aimless, life filled with sin. I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
All right, so it's 6:25, Death Row Radio. We're in the last week, folks. Last day is Thursday. Friday is the changeover to the new format, which is either Spanish language or Mexican music, according to Ralph. So depending on how you describe it. Now, I do have a guest. J.R. Stewart's going to be coming on in just a few minutes after the half hour, to talk about the race for the sheriff's office. In the meantime, we have some interesting things going on. One of which is Steve Bannon is out. And whether that is good or not is a matter of speculation. But I think for him to quit, and then say, and by the way, North Korea, we're just bluffing, there's nothing we can do to stop you, was a kind of a traitorous remark, and I was not impressed with that. And, you know, it's just one of those things. Now, what will he be like when he gets out? He's now going to go back to Breitbart. He's going to run that. He's going to turn it into an international media juggernaut, supposedly, with TV on there. Hey, maybe I'll send my resume in. Who knows how desperate they are. But sounds like an interesting thing. Now, there is something about Antifa, the group that fought against the white supremacists in Virginia, is they are violent. So you've got a couple of violent groups out there right now, and the president needs to do what he can to back everything down. He made a statement in which he said that the protesters in Boston, he appreciated their support of free speech. And I think that backed people off a little bit. It backed people off when Bannon quit. But the question is, what does the future hold? Now, a very weird story coming out of Colorado, a guy who said that his haircut must have looked like a Nazi haircut, although he doesn't have a small mustache, but it's shaved on the side and a little bit longer on top, and that a guy came up to him when he was starting to get out of his car to get a milkshake at Steak and Shake up in Colorado, and the guy stabbed at him and got him in the hands and screamed, "Get out of here, you Nazi," which is certainly bizarre. But in any event, let's take a break for our local news, and we'll come back for J.R. Stewart and hear what he's been up to. And Hank Williams, I Saw the Light. Don't forget to go out and watch the eclipse. And we will be back in just a moment with J.R.
I saw the light, I saw the light, no more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
Hey, it's Kelly.
So, Kelly, this is your last week, and the last day of the show is the 24th?
Yeah, Death Row Radio, Kathy.
I thought you said you were going to be here until the 1st of September.
Well, I just asked Casey Counts, and she said the first day of the new station is the first day of the month. The new format.
The first day of the month is a week away. A week and a half away.
Oh, wow, man.
Yeah, Kelly, come on. Don't cut us short here. We want the whole Kelly of the whole show. Come on, O'Connell. Come on. You're supposed to go through the 31st, which is a week from Thursday.
I think I'm going to auction off a chance to have my child. That's on the last day.
Anyhow, I'm going to miss him, but glad you're here for 4 days or a week and 4 days, whatever.
A week and 4 days, you're right. I don't know what I was thinking.
You're
in a hurry. Oh, gosh.
I don't blame you. It's intense to do what you do.
Yeah.
You do a good job. You need a break, but it's too bad. I can't believe they're going Spanish. That's ridiculous.
Well, could be worse. Could be Russian.
I guess. Okay.
All right, Kath. All right. Okay.
I thought you said you're going to be around until the first. So.
I did. You're right. I gotta disabuse people now. I put out some fake news.
News. Okay, Kelly.
All right. I'll see you. Thanks, Kathy.
Uh-huh.
Bye.
What do you think?
All right, so I got a phone call from Kathy, and she pointed out one of my last dumb mistakes. The last day of the show is not this week. It is next week. I do apologize. I don't know what I was thinking. I guess I was caught up in the motif of Death Row, and it affected my ability to count. But the last day of the show is not this week. It is next week, and it is on Thursday, the 31st. So we got, folks, come on now. Let's not be grim here. Now, anyway, so we got J.R. Stewart, and he's in the studio. And how's it going, J.R.?
This is early, but hello, Kelly. It's good to see you.
What time does the sheriff get up?
9 o'clock.
That's nice.
No, I'm not sure. It might be eight to five.
You got to have a bed like the Jetsons that folds in half and shoots you out the top.
Hey, I don't mind. Sounds good to me.
Okay, so so you're wearing a Hawaiian shirt. Did you just come back from vacation or what?
In November, I took my wife. We went to Hawaii for her birthday.
All right. Okay, so you're getting back in the swing of things.
Yeah, I am. I am.
You were down south doing some police work.
Yeah, I was chief in Anthony, New Mexico. I was asked by the mayor down there if I would was interested in the job, and I said not really. Told him I hung up my guns for a while, and he says I was highly recommended, and if I would just come talk to him. So I did, and I think I was already hired before I even went in there.
Wow, that must be nice.
Oh, it felt good. Let me tell you, it felt good to be back in the boots again, and then I had to go in front of the I guess it's the city council or the board there. And I went in front of them, and I was highly recommended also. I told them that, you know, they wanted some resume. They wanted a resume for me, and I said, hey, wait. You guys came looking for me. I didn't come looking for you. But I said, I told them I put up all my stuff, and I'd have to go into the basement to go get my resumes and stuff. But it didn't take much for me to sell myself to him.
Well, that's good. So, welcome back to the fold, I guess. So you're running for sheriff of Doñana.
Yeah, I guess I'm announcing it right now. I'm going to be running again.
Congratulations.
Kiki.
All right.
Well, thank you.
So Kiki has been on the show a number of times, and I've had some good times while he's come on here, but there has been some criticism of the administration.
Correct.
And do you have some criticism of the current regime in the sheriff's office?
Well, I don't know if it's called criticism or what, but
how about some helpful advice?
well, you need to retain your deputies and quit letting them go to the city. And everybody's jumping ship. They're retiring or they're going. They're looking for jobs elsewhere. And that should tell you something.
Now, but when Kiki came in, that was part of the argument, was that we need a change here because the morale is so down.
Well, you know, when I first ran, and I hate going in front of a group of people because people listen to me and they take that information and use it toward their campaign. And my main thing was recruitment and retention. Number one, it's hard to retain these guys, and recruitment, it's been lousy. Right now, they're just running people through like the Border Patrol. You know, they're supposed to have, what, 10 or 15,000 for immigration and Border Patrol. And we shouldn't have that. We should get qualified young men and women that want a job, that would want to stay here. And that was my whole goal.
All right. So, I mean, obviously you could have stayed retired. So you were obviously concerned.
Very much so. After seeing what was going on in the sheriff's department, I was asked by hundreds of people if I would do it again. I go, this is the third time. I don't know. And they go, we need you. You know, Kiki being a Fed is not actually being in law enforcement, even though they are law enforcement, because their job was mainly picking up criminals, felonies, and chasing them down. They didn't have a clue Feds was all about. And after doing 35 years, and I went out there and I explained it to groups and they understood, but it wasn't enough.
And we do have a phone call. Thanks for the call to Kelly O'Connell's show. Who's this?
Hi, yes, my name is Kathy, and I was calling to see if Mayfield is going to have school today.
Who?
Mayfield High School in Las Cruces.
That is a wonderful question. Well, I mean, I consider myself a well-informed person, but I don't know the answer to this. Can I find out and then bring it back on the air?
Yeah.
All right. Kathy, right?
Yes.
Thank you. God bless you, Kathy. Thanks for listening. Have a great day. Don't forget the solar eclipse.
No, I'm going to be watching that. Thank you.
Don't look directly at the sun, though.
I won't.
All right. Okay. Thanks for the call. All right, I've had some hard-hitting questions before, but whether Mayfield is meeting today, I don't know the answer to that. But
might be underwater.
It could be. Yeah, there was a lot of rain this weekend. I looked at Coco Ross, the community rain and weather site, and they said that it was somewhere between 0.25 and about 1.5 inches, depending where you were at. So
wow,
quite a bit. All right, so we're talking to J.R. Stewart. Always a good time with J.R. And we're going to be right back, and I'm going to find out about Mayfield. Let's see if the Mayfield – what's the name of the team there? The Mayfield Mayflies?
Trojans. Oh.
The Maggots? The Mayfield Maggots? The Mayflies? All right, well, I'm going to find out, and I'll come back, and we'll talk to J.R. some more. We're going to find out why three times may be the charm. And 523-1450 to call in, 805-6180 to text. Kiki, if you're listening, feel free to call in. We'll be right back.
Just like a blind man, I wandered along worries and fears I claimed for my own. Then like the blind man, God gave back his sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
All right, we got J.R. Stewart here. Now, J.R., I got to ask you again, why are you running? You've done this before. You came very close before, and I know that Kiki had a lot of funding. He had a lot of support before, and yeah, I don't have a beef with Kiki, but I know that there has been some criticism out there.
Well, there's a lot of reasons, but you hit one of them now that there's a lot of funding out there. He had 50-some thousand to my 13,000, so he was able to get people to get out and work. And, of course, you know, all the signs in Las Cruces were lit up with his face.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, right now, besides the recruitment and retention, which is real bad, the work environment is really sad.
But it was bad before, according to the last campaign, that we had to make a change.
And, you know, he promised things would change. Well, one thing he did do, which he promised, was get rid of a lot of the captains, and they were forced to retire somehow or another. He put them in positions where it was embarrassing and had no
like crossing,
authority.
Like crossing guard?
Well, put them in the courts from crossing guard. I don't know. That's a city. But one thing is that he never has, and is, you know, which is important. He doesn't work with enforcement agencies. He seems to upset him or cut him off. Doesn't anything to do. He just wants the sheriff. Even though, you know, he is the top man of Doniana County, you still have to work with other agencies. That's a big priority.
And there has been some conflict between the sheriff's office and some of the other entities in town.
Yes.
Such as?
City. These will not work. We're trying to, well, it's always been in the past, that you give a commission officers you deputize them, they give them a little deputy card, so that way if they need to get out and help the sheriff's department or in the county or the small departments, that they're able to go and actually do enforcement. If they see something like a violation happen, you're able to stop or assist in case an agency needs another or they need you. That was one of the biggest things that was important, because we all need to work together. And even though the officers are certified in the state, it's always good to have that commission card from the sheriff, and he refused to do that.
And that was what?
It's called a commission card. All the sheriffs throughout the history of Doniana County, once they're in office, they issue commission cards to officers so they'd have jurisdiction in the county. Rather it'd be looking for a subject wanted for rape or any type of felony, crimes such as that, or if there's any infractions that happen in the county, the officers, the city officers, or for instance, Hatch or Sullen Park or one of the smaller agencies, Mesilla, Anthony, if you see a violation that gives them authority to take enforcement action, it's called cross commission. And that's was very important.
They didn't do that with the sheriff's office?
The sheriff's department did not do it for the other agencies.
Why not?
He has his reasons. I'm not sure. Like I said, it's maybe about control, maybe.
I see. So, and what did you think about the battle between the sheriff's office and the county?
Oh, that's another one.
Like
Mrs. Brown said, it's true politics at work.
Well, let's take a little break here and come back and hear Jarrett's take on the fight, the battle between the sheriff's office and the county and the jail. We'll be right back. Kelly O'Connell, 646 AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523, 1450, and 805-6180. I will bring your texts to the air so you may be immortal. I'm blogcasting this, as I've done for about the last 5 years, talk radio, which is where the continuation of the show will be in the future. Not this week. Death Row Radio continues into next week. We'll be right back.
I saw the light, no more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
All right, we're here with J.R. Stewart, and so J.R., the battle between the sheriff and the jail, the battle between the sheriff and the county, what do you think?
First of all, that was nasty. I knew it was coming. It was part of his campaign was to take over the jail. I didn't want to take on the jail because it was already ran pretty good, and I think the county commissioner wanted it because for financial reasons, so I wasn't going to do it. But I already knew that he was going to do it. But the way he went about doing it was totally wrong. And I felt sorry for Mrs. Brown. I think she had her ducks in a row when she went up there and handed him that piece of paper.
But she did.
The media.
She did do a slam dunk onto his microphone. With the order.
That takes a little gall, especially when you're out there doing a press release such as that. But he came back. He was all cool, calm, and collective. I probably would have choked. But anyway. It happened. I wouldn't have done what Kiki did. I would have definitely not gone up to the jail. Like I said, it's pretty well ran, pretty good. And I would have left it alone. And that right from there, after that, it went downhill.
Yeah, it didn't seem to have the momentum. Now, is Chris Barella out now for the marijuana?
I believe so. Usually when they have a warrant and he sold it to, or he bought it from undercover officers, you know, I think that might be his last.
How about marijuana brownies for the inmates?
For the inmates. You definitely have to lock them out because it's going to go crazy. But like making their home brew there.
Yeah, the food costs would go through the roof.
Not for the brownies, but for the other.
For the
ingredients.
The munchies.
Yes.
So, all right. So now, who is running? Is Kiki running? Is Ken Roberts running? Have you heard about anybody else?
Well, I don't think Ken Roberts will run. He's got a good position right now underneath Kiki. As you know, Ken Roberts ran against Kiki with the rest of the five of us.
He was in this very studio.
This very studio. He was slamming him. I was kind of shocked when Eddie Lerman was out and Ken was in. And, Ken Roberts told a lot of people, it's known that he said, I have a lot of axe to grind. And he sure did. He tore up that sheriff's department. And as a matter of fact, you know, the new major, I was surprised it didn't come from within, which it should have, and not advertised to somebody else that didn't work with the sheriff's department. It makes a big difference promoting within, because they already know the way things are run.
And gives people something to work for.
So. Yeah, exactly. And what they did was they just shut that out. I've never seen that before in the history of the sheriff's department. And I've been around here forever. I mean, really forever. I've never seen anything like that. And that just, you know, tells the guys that, you know, you don't have a chance to make up to major.
Oh, well, that's got to be discouraging. So when does the campaign kick off? I mean, I realize you're announcing today.
I guess I did it right now. It's starting off right now. So anybody out there but I'm going to ask my friends and people that I work with, colleagues and stuff, to get out there, support me. You know, it's going to cost quite a bit of money. I can sure use the funds. I'm retired, so I'm going to need a lot of financial support, especially to take on a big task as running for Kiki, against Kiki.
Yeah. Now, I guess there's a lot of different issues, but what do you think the top three changes that need to be made at the sheriff's office are, if what you're running on?
Well, you know, there's a lot of changes. First of all, we need to work on morale. There is no morale. And I was told by some deputies that in order for morale to get morale, it would have to die, and it already died. So that's one of the things, as you know, we need to work with all the agencies. We have to. It's important. We can't fight with each other. We're the same people. We wear the badge, and we're out there to keep our community safe. That's a big thing. My understanding right now is that they can't do traffic stops. They can't do any of this stuff. They can't take an enforcement, and they just sit around, or they drive around. I'm sorry, they drive around with nothing to do until they get a call. I saw a memo come out that they won't answer or calls in areas such as Messier or Anthony or Sunland Park, and all these things need to change. We need to work together. We need to get the manpower, woman power, to what it used to be, and like I said. Keep this community safe. That's the biggest thing.
Mm-hmm. So they're not pulling people over for traffic offenses in the county?
That is correct. Not only that, but...
That's crazy, isn't it?
There's a couple of deputies that showed me that there's a little tracking system in their unit that they sit there, and if a deputy stays in a certain area for so long, they can track them. It came from Verizon. They work at Verizon. It cost $70,000. And what they're doing, they're stealing funds from the other departments. And this is also known from all the other departments for the sheriff's department. You know, I don't mind that, but not to track officers such as that. If it's an officer safety issue, which is totally different, I can see.
Uh-huh.
But not to see where you're at and write you up. My understanding, if they go over 10 miles an hour, to emergency call, they call them in and get written up. Those are the things that you don't want, you know, it'll shoot morale down. You know, if there was an officer hurt, I want them to go balls to the wall. I'm sorry.
I hear you. And will they even track them to Dunkin' Donuts?
That's correct. Dunkin' Donuts.
That should be, that itself should be against the law. We've got a phone call. Thanks for the call to Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Good morning, Kelly and JR. That's smart. I think JR is a little mistaken, as I've got a little curly piece of paper written by Doniana County Sheriff that says voter citation on it.
What date? What's the date of it?
6 days ago.
All right.
Okay, they do have, let me correct myself, they do have special assignments. They do have a traffic division, but the patrol officers aren't allowed to do it. But they do have a traffic division. They do have special assignments where they set up on the interstate, and they run radar or certain areas. So let me just correct myself as far as that. But normally they're not supposed to.
Deputies aren't allowed to write tickets there, JR, so make sure you're correct when you say your thing. Thanks,
Mark.
Hey, it's no problem. I understand. And this is coming from the deputies themselves. So I'm not too sure what the caller got a ticket for, but it might have been a major infraction or something like that,
mm-hmm.
You know, which an officer has to do.
All right, so... But your information is that the regular patrol units have been told not to make traffic stops.
That is correct.
All right.
And this is coming from the deputies themselves. And, you know, I'm not going to, you know, say their names because they will get in trouble. You can't talk bad about the department because they find out you'll be in internal affairs. And this is, you know, I'm getting a lot of this information from the deputies themselves. What I'm telling you is from them.
So do you feel like there's insurrection or there's a sense of, from inside the sheriff's office, that they want change at the top?
Correct. That is very true.
One more question. How is the funding for things like cars and, you know, squad cars and stuff that they had talked about before?
You notice on the cars, they have SG, it's Stone Garden.
Okay.
And that's how they're able to obtain, and which is good. I have to give them credit for that, getting out there and getting these vehicles for the deputies because one of the main issues for officers is a good vehicle. That is their office.
Right.
And so you want to make sure that that vehicle is in good working condition to protect that officer. It's an officer safety issue.
Absolutely. Okay, folks, are we done here?
We're done.
Okay. Thanks for coming in, JR.
And, you know, Kelly, thank you for your support and allowing me to come here and get on the radio with you. I think it's an honor.
You're welcome. And what is the contact info for your campaign?
I haven't done anything. Like I said, today is the first day. So we will be on Facebook and we'll be getting pamphlets out and flyers out and so forth.
Give us a
with
phone,
that information.
Phone number.
Right now I don't have one.
All right.
I don't want to give you my personal one over the air.
Doesn't have a phone, folks. Well, we'll see. Maybe we'll see you again before the show ends.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks, Jer.
Thanks for the opportunity.
You bet. Well, folks, we'll take a break on there and be right back.
I was a fool to wander and stray, for straight is the gate and narrow's the way.
And so we just heard J.R. Stewart, and very friendly and down-to-earth guy. Now, you've heard, if you've been listening to this show for a while, you've heard Kiki on here maybe more than once. If you tune in regularly, and Kiki, you're more than welcome to come on the show and defend yourself, your administration, against what JR has stated. JR stating that morale is down, that there's more cops than ever transferring between the sheriff's department, the sheriff's and over to the city. And that it was ill-advised, the fight between the sheriff's office and the county. So, Kiki, you're more than welcome to come on. I am nonpartisan. I'm conservative, but I'm nonpartisan, of course. So, All right, so let's shift gears a little bit here. What happened in Charlottesville? I'd like to know how much of it was spontaneous and how much of it was contrived. How much of the stuff that boiled over was accidental or on purpose? I really don't know, but I know that these people on the left go to other cities and start riots, and all of a sudden it's the right who gets accused of being a Nazi. Now, if you're in the GOP, does that mean you're a racist? Well, the GOP was started as the party to help end slavery. So that's a little bit silly. How about the modern day GOP? Are they racists? That's the claim. The battle over the statues and the memorials for the Civil War, and the claim that the people on the right are racist, are inherent racists. Here's a little bit from Alex Calistanos, a commentator on ABC. This week, Trump supporters saw Democrats paint us as all as Nazis instead of listening. That's what I heard, is that the president got up and condemned what happened in Charlottesville. Then he was criticized for not singling out white supremacists and not white nationalists, neo-Nazis. So he got up and did that later. That is what all this ruckus is about, and this racism claim has taken over Russia. So the hatred is palpable out there towards the Republican Party. Can the Democrats, along with the media and Hollywood, get the average person to believe that the GOP is a racist? That seems to be the battle right now.
Is when you have no choice. Gee, I got to stick with the cable company. They're the only one. Boy, they treat me lousy, and I'm really frustrated, and I hate it. Trump supporters have to stick with Donald Trump because Democrats have not changed. It's still Nancy Pelosi's the alternative, really? A limp Republican Party that's indistinguishable from Democrats? Trump is their only finger in the dike stopping Washington from flooding them and overpowering them, so they stick with their president. But on a different level here, what I think a lot of Trump supporters heard this week was the Democrats are just painting us, Trump supporters, with a Nazi brush. We're all white supremacists. That's their excuse for why they lost the election. No. White working class America, death rates among white men are up 20%. They're unemployed. Gwen Ifill said, no wonder they're resentful. And Democrats, as opposed to looking in the mirror and saying the Washington establishment failed white working America, no, they're painting us all as Nazis. That's why we voted for Trump.
I do want to address what changed this week, and I would say it's not just the Republican. He's not the president of the Republican America. He's president of America overall. The presidency has a lot of soft power. You go to funerals. You unify the nation. Think about how Obama spoke about Charleston, how Obama spoke about Dallas last year. Think about this week. Business leaders don't want to be around him. Kennedy Center Award winners don't want to be near him. The family of someone who died this week.
This is all the narrative. The narrative of the left is always everything happens on accident or by naturally happens. Instead of stating the obvious that this lady was the mother of the woman that was run over, instead of stating the obvious that she was encouraged not to deal with the president, it was just a natural outcome of her daughter getting run over and the president not condemning the Nazis, that she can't talk to the president. All of this stuff by the left has got to, at some point, backfire, because even the most simple-minded person realizes that none of this stuff ultimately happens by accident, that the party is always creating these narratives of incompetence and hatred, stupidity, of racism.
Does not want to take his call. So the idea that this has not changed the presidency.
Okay, evangelical leaders are hanging in there, except
for one. Yeah. So you've had a bad day.
But two of those three groups, so America's CEOs, corporate America, and a bunch of celebrities. If you are a Trump supporter, you look at that and you say, well, okay, a bunch of celebrities don't want to hang out with Trump. Media doesn't like Trump. Democrats don't like Trump. A bunch of billionaires on Wall Street don't like Trump. But that's okay because Trump's with me. And he has the benefit of having a lot of very unpopular enemies as well. And by picking fights with the media, with Democrats, he is able to get his supporters, even in moments like this where what he said was certainly not the best, they go, but you know what? he's still speaking up for people
but
like
this president is giving his supporters political Viagra every 4 hours. He's wearing them out. He's never giving them a rest, and they can't remain this intense in our house forever. His supporters, he needs to give his supporters a break. They're having to defend him constantly, and eventually they get frustrated. That resentment is building up. If they're in the pressure cooker, if there's ever an alternative, it could collapse
like that. But is that really ever going to change? We saw this week, Steve.
I think what Trump needs to do, and you could hear this from anybody who commented on it, what Trump needs to do is to stick to policy, forget the fights, if that's possible for his personality, but bury the left with accomplishments. That's what he needs to do. Now, here's Brian Stelter. This guy seems like he was a high school reporter for the newspaper and somehow was immediately hired out of high school into one of the major networks. This guy is one of the most unhinged and biased people. And now he's starting to say that journalists are starting to wonder if Trump is crazy in private more than in public. They've been saying that from day one. Here's another famous narrative of the left. We will pretend that we didn't notice something that's been happening. We'll just suggest it started happening, and it's something that we started, and then we'll just pretend that it happened naturally.
Normal week. So this is not a normal show. President Trump's actions and inactions in the wake of Charlottesville are provoking some uncomfortable conversations, mostly off the air, if we're being honest. In discussions among friends and family and debates on social media, people are questioning the president's fitness. But these conversations are happening in newsrooms and TV studios as well. Usually after the microphones are off or after the stories are filed, after the paper's been put to bed, people's concerns and fears and questions come out. Questions that often feel out of bounds, off limits, too hot for TV.
It's not out of bounds when they've been putting this stuff in there that all of these psychologists and psychiatrists said he was crazy months ago. It's the same narrative. The left only has one thing that it can do, and that's to slander, and that's to gin up and try to destroy this guy. That's their entire purpose for existence right now.
Questions like these. Is the president of the United States a racist? Is he suffering from some kind of illness? Is he fit for office? And if he's
the guy sits there and kind of chews on his lip for a second and looks off to the left like he's having this deep moment. These guys are like a pack of poodles chasing after the president.
Fit. Then what? These are upsetting, polarizing questions that they're uncomfortable to ask. But we in the national news media can't pretend like our readers and viewers aren't already asking. They are asking. This is how deep the country's divide has really become.
Propaganda, 24/7. It was Russia before that. And before Russia, what was it? It was the claim that the president was unfit. He was a Hitler. The left only has so many ideas in its mind. It's like some article of clothing that's just stuck in the dryer for years. It just keeps getting spun over and over and over again.
My impression is that since President Trump's inauguration, there's been a lot of tiptoeing going on. His actions have been described as unpresidential, as unhinged, and sometimes even crazy. Now, that word crazy can be interpreted several different ways. It gets said a lot more in private than it gets said on TV. For instance, this next soundbite was never meant to be heard on TV at all. Last month, Republican Senator Susan Collins was overheard on a hot mic saying that Trump's handling of spending was incredibly irresponsible. Democratic Senator Jack Reed responded by saying,
Yankee Doodle, I'll put you on hold and I'll bring you on in after the clip, okay?
Thanks, sir.
I don't say that.
No,
lightly, and it's a kind of, you know, a busy guy.
This week, Republican Senator Bob Corker questions the president's stability. Watch.
The president has not yet
has not yet been able to demonstrate the stability nor some of the competence that he needs to demonstrate in order to be successful.
Now, some Democrats, not surprisingly, have gone a lot further. California Democrat Zoe Lofgren asked if Trump has early stage dementia. She said she wants a medical mental exam conducted. Another California Dem, Jack.
How about a mental examination of Obama? Seriously, how many stupid mistakes did that guy make? What in 8 years, what positive did he achieve? And nobody asked for a mental health exam? We've got a phone call. Thanks. This is Yankee Doodle. Do you have a last name, Yankee Doodle? All right, can you walk away from the radio a little bit? What's on your mind?
To me, a logic question. If Donald Trump is a Nazi because he didn't put down the neo-Nazis, then is Obama a Muslim terrorist because he wouldn't call out the Muslim terrorists?
Right, and he wouldn't call out Black Lives Matter. I mean, what I don't understand about these guys in the White House, I don't understand a couple of things, but one of which is, why don't you get clips of Obama in which he refuses to attack Black Lives Matter and play him, put him in a, you know, stick him on the YouTube, play him in a advertisement or something. Why can't we, I know that Trump's a smart guy, but why don't they do stuff like that?
Because the American media is against America.
Well, I agree. Anything else?
That'll do. Thanks.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Thank you, Yankee. Yankee Doodle. Can't be easy going through life named Doodle. All right, so you get this thing from Stelter. Now, the greatest part of this, if you can find a clip of it, go on to Real Clear Politics. Stelter says, we have to ask if the president is mentally incompetent. And then he kind of chews on his lip and looks off to the right like he's in a soap opera. I mean, these people are pathetic. Get into the... to the mainstream media these days. I mean, these people are totally unhinged. They've been picking a fight with this guy for 6 months, and he lashes back at him, and then they say, is he mentally ill? I just, you know, why is it for the left, this is either our way or we're going to destroy America? There's two choices here. And, you know, you can either, and somebody just texted me, why is the show ending? I've been out of town. Reason the show is changing is because the format is changing. It's no longer going to be talk radio. It's no longer going to be English. So... I mean, what do you think of that? So I don't know what else to say, but I could say that the, it's life. Life is full of changes, and, you know, I'm not going to blame somebody for it. There wasn't the advertising. We have the numbers. We have the listenership. We've got a lot of strong voices on this station, and I'm just – stating what the owner told me is that my numbers are bigger than Rush's. So we've got listeners for this show. We've got listeners for, think of everybody else. You got Rush, you got Savage, you got Glenn Beck. You have the listenership to sell advertising or to have advertising, but for some reason the station is underperforming in terms of ads. So somebody else said we could buy a station in Mexico, in Juarez, and broadcast over here, Mexican radio. So I guess that's possible. In that spirit, Wall of Voodoo, Mexican radio. We'll take a break and be right back.
I feel a hot wind on my shoulder and the touch of a world that is older. I turn the switch and number. I leave it on when the bed I slumber. I hear the rhythm of the music, a bottom rod if you never use it. I hear the talking of the DJ. Can't understand just what does he say. I'm on a record.
All right. So there is a quote, and this is kind of an attenuated, a kind of a, you know, it's an idea related to what we're talking about, I think. The need to take down Donald Trump. It's a meme. You know, a meme is this repeating thing. It is a commonplace. I don't know exactly what to call it, but to take the people who disagree with you and turn them into monsters or moral, you know, moral misfits, intellectual dwarves. That's what the left does. Why does it do it? Because it doesn't have any other moves. You can't persuade people if you're not selling something. If you don't have something good to give them, then you've got to go after your opponents in a way that is just totally, you know, off the tether. So this is a quote I read one time a long time ago, and I always remembered it. Botanist Garrett Hardin, he's a botanist and a philosopher, Garrett Hardin said that anyone who questions the status of Darwin inevitably attracts the speculative psychiatric eye to himself. I always remembered that. Anyone who questions Darwinism inevitably attracts the speculative psychiatric eye to himself. To challenge Darwinism is absolutely crazy in the culture that we live in. Now, what most people don't know, and I think I've mentioned it a few times, there are some profound and not, well, let me put it this way. There are profound and unanswerable problems with Darwinism, which I won't go into now. But the more that we find out about the history of the planet and fossils and that type of thing, the more established the problems have become. And well, I'll just mention one. There appears to be no known history of any one of animal evolving into another through the fossil record. Now, we have plenty of animals that we compare to other animals and say, obviously, this animal evolved from this one to another one, to this other one. But to find that in the fossil record has not been done. Now, there, you know, people from, I'm sure you could find a biologist at New Mexico University or anywhere else to call up and say that statement is a load of crap, but it is a well-known and unanswerable problem, which the unparalleled paleontologist Stephen Jay Gould answered with PE, punctuated equilibrium. He said that animals spontaneously evolve when the stress of the environment becomes too great. But anyway, challenge Darwinism because it is the centerpiece of our understanding of life. Now, the fact that can be described as a fairly anti-Christian explanation of where life came from, or anti-biblical, I guess you would say, means that some people who follow the Bible differ and vary from that to the they bring Darwinism into the biblical history, into the history of the world. And then there's other people who are Christians who may not have much scientific knowledge themselves, but simply don't put their faith into Darwinism. But what I have noticed about the left, this is not a commentary about Darwinism. It is a commentary about how we treat ideas that don't fit in this culture. And the left is tyrannical in its approach. So you can't disagree there was a guy that published this article that was critical of gay parenting and said basically, and this guy's name is Mark Regnerus, and he was from the University of Texas at Austin, I believe. He published something that seemed to suggest that kids are better off growing up in a straight household than a gay one. They went after this guy tooth and nail. They tried to destroy his career, and they filed a number of claims against him for shoddy research and poor scientific study and for for publishing something that was not fit for a scientific journal. Now, he was cleared of all the charges, but what the left does is it tries to take its opponents out at the knees. It's not enough that someone is defeated in the ballot box or is just, you know, that you respond to somebody, say, I don't believe what this person believes. I happen to see it another way, because the left does not accept a diversity of it has a tyrannical view of life. It is so committed. It is so caught up in its view of its ideas, and apparently it is so insecure in how established its ideas are that it has to go after these people who dare to disagree root and branch. And you can find many, many, many examples of this out there. And one of the most classic ones now is this PC culture. If you disagree with the PC Ten Commandments, then you are not only silenced, but you have to lose your job. You have to move to another town, you know? So the summary of this observation is that this is what they're doing to Trump at a very high level. They're trying to show that he is a misfit, that he's a moral monster, that he is intellectually an intellectual dwarf. He's a racist. He accepts things that any proper person would just, without a second thought, would throw out the window. They're trying to do this because it's very effective when it works, and it works more often than you think it might. And they also do it because they don't really have a lot else. They're doing it because they don't have answers to the problems that are presented in modern society. For instance, socialism doesn't appear to be a viable economic system. But instead of admitting that, you go out and destroy the people that are opposed to socialism or the welfare state and say they're against children. Greedy capitalists. You see what I mean? 733 Kelly O'Connell 523 1450 to call in and 805-6180 to text. We'll be right back. Death Row Radio, and we got another week, an extra week. I didn't even know it, but fortunately, Kathy was kind enough to call up and point out that I had been hypnotized into thinking this was the last week. So what I'm getting at isn't a debate over Darwinism. It's that there's no criticism of Darwinism that's allowed. I don't think I got that in the original explanation. I got kind of caught up in the details. There's no criticism of Darwinism allowed. The only people who can criticize Darwinism are in the academy. They're in the tribe, the people. And so a person who is a creationist or believe it or not, there's a significant minority of individuals who don't accept Darwinism based on the idea of the odds of it happening, spontaneous generation, and then accident and mistake and, you know, DNA aberrations one after another, creating changes in animals. There's some people just can't accept it. The guy, Sir Fred Hoyle, the guy that came up with the term, the Big Bang, who's considered to be, I think, the most important cosmologist of the last, well, let's just say, obviously, one of the most important cosmologists of the last century, didn't accept the idea because of the odds. The odds are so microscopically low that a person who understands probability couldn't take them seriously. So there's many things like this in life. And I would say, you know, choose your battles. I don't really care to get up on the radio and fight over Darwinism, because I find the people that stand up for it and argue it the same boring arguments time after time. And people get upset at you, and it doesn't lead anywhere. You know, it's like having an argument over abortion. It doesn't lead to anything productive. So, but you can't criticize it because you've got to be exposed. I just think that the left has a very weak grasp. You know, the people on the right, especially people who follow the Bible or for the sake of a more complex explanation, the individuals who buy into revelation, the idea that there is brought into this world from outside of it, which is the kind of the idea behind Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, those people have a much firmer foundation because they can appeal to this tradition. Whether it's right or not, psychologically, intellectually, it's a more firm foundation to build something on because it has basically not been changed for thousands of years and can always be appealed to as a source of authority. For the left, for especially atheists or humanists, you've got to be right. It's not enough to reject God or whatever, the Bible. You've got to be right on your speculations about the earth, about humans, about history. And so that's, I think, one reason they're in a very tenuous spot, that they fight like, you know, diseased animals. They fight like rabid cats, you know. All right, here is Charles Barkley. Who the hell cares about statues? Charles Barkley, the famous basketball player who played for Phoenix, Hall of Famer.
I'm not going to waste my time. What about these Confederate statues? That's wasted energy. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to keep doing great things. I'm going to keep trying to make a difference, number one, in the black community because I'm black.
I can't hear this in both of my headphones, which means traditionally means that I you can't hear it over the air, but just call me if you can't hear anything.
Black, but I also going to try to do good things in the world. I'm not going to waste my time screaming at a neo-Nazi who's going to hate me no matter what.
I don't hear anything coming over the air, so I'll try to find this in another clip. We do have a call. Yeah, the person was calling to tell me that it was. So let me see if I can find it on YouTube. In the meantime, I've got another black activist, or she's got a YouTube channel, saying you've got to be joking about the race war that the media has created. This is very, very illuminating. And this lady's name is Candace Owens.
White supremacy and the KKK. Really? That's what you guys want me to be concerned with this week? Do I look like an idiot? My name is Candace Owens, and you are watching my vlog series, The Myth of the Coon. Oh my God, Charlottesville, white supremacy is alive and well, run. Stop. Then, and you expressed some irrational fears this week over the rise of the Klansmen and neo-Nazis, let me invite you over for a cup of hot steaming facts. Fact number one, approximately 93% of black homicide victims are killed by other black people. In 2014, 6,095 black people were killed. And virtually all of them were killed by other black people. Black Lives Matter protesters may want to consider extending their slogan to "Don't shoot," because we've already got it covered. And you're not special, white people. Seriously, in 2012, 84% of white homicides were committed by other white people. Go figure. It's like we're all racist towards our own selves. Nobody wants us dead more than we want ourselves dead. I mean, there are what? 6,000 Klansmen left in our nation. You want me to actually process that as a legitimate fear every day when I wake up? It's Donald Trump's fault that they're feeling energized. It's Obama's fault that Black Lives Matter is violent. Both of you children, to your room. It's obviously the media's fault. I mean, the media is creating this entire narrative, and it is crazy, absolutely crazy to me that people have not figured this out yet.
I mean, what? I think we didn't hear a single thing about David Duke, white supremacy, and the KKK the entire time Obama was in office. Do you think that they were all hiding underground, waiting for the next white president, meeting by the light of the moon? Do you really actually believe that they weren't still meeting, holding protests, having rallies and marches? Maybe the media wasn't covering it. Use your brain. I mean, the media is literally simulating a reality right now, and it is fascinating to watch people fall for it over and over again.
I agree with this lady more than anything. I mean, I like where she's coming from, but the media creates a reality like Brian Stelter, little Brian Stelter. He gets up and says, oh, my gosh, everybody's worried about whether Donald Trump is mentally fit. I mean, is the media mentally fit? It continually lies. Why? All right, here's from Barkley.
I'm not going to waste my time worrying about these Confederate statues. That's wasted energy. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to keep doing great things. I'm going to keep trying to make a difference, number one, in the black community because I'm black, but I'm also going to try to do good things in the world. I'm not going to waste my time screaming at a neo-Nazi who's going to hate me no matter what. And I'm not going to waste my time trying to worry about these statues that they got all over the country.
So do you leave them up and ignore them? Or do you...
I've always ignored them, Rick. I'm 54 years old. I've never thought about those statues a day in my life. I think if you ask most black people, to be honest, they thought a day in their life about those stupid statues. What we as black people need to do, we need to worry about getting our education. We need to stop killing each other. We need to try to find a way to have more economic opportunity and things like that. Don't waste. Those things are important and significant. You know, I'm wasting time and energy screaming at a neo-Nazi or, man, you got to take this statue down.
Excellent point. Let's take a break here for weather. 7:45. And just let me reiterate the thing on evolution. I spent a lot of time studying it. There's some major problems with it. Evolution also, on the other hand, explains stuff that no other theory does. So I can understand someone supporting it. But the idea that it is that's a theory that's established across the board really isn't true that way, because, you know, you don't go to school to find out the shortcomings of stuff, normally speaking. But I mean, my thing is, let people criticize it. The idea that the only person who could find a problem with evolutionary theory is a scientist who's an evolutionist is sad. It means that the theory is so fragile it can't be touched by anybody unless they have special gloves on. Let these people that are creationists or whatever come in and criticize it, because some of the criticisms are devastating. And let the theory adapt to that. Don't drive these people out of science and say, you know, you're cavemen, you're flat earthers, because you don't accept our theory. Because as you know about any scientific theory worth its salt, it always gets updated in the future if it survives. 7:47. Blind the Friendly Skies. We'll be right back. 523-1450, 805-6180. Kelly O'Connell, M. Las Cruces.
I understand just a little. No comprende, it's a riddle. I'm on a Mexican radio. I'm on a Mexican radio.
All right, so I just got a text from somebody who said, hold on a second here. Science says that there is an eclipse today. Junk science, huge left conspiracy. Kind of what I'm getting at here. Number one, evolution really isn't science in the traditional sense of the understanding of develop a theory, you try to disprove the theory. You test the theory. So how do scientists test evolution? Just curious. But that's what I'm talking about. Let's have a conversation about this stuff. forget the idea that there's a bunch of science that cannot be criticized, because what that reminds me of is global warming. Whereas if you criticize it, you're a so-called denier. And all of the falsification, to me, bad science is characterized by attempts to prove it with false information. Junk science, if you want to call it that, like the person just did. Junk science, fake news. How many fake missing links have been created by people that supported evolution? How many fake facts have been laid out there? You know, I mean, it's just an extraordinary number for something that's true. How much falsification has been done in the name of global warming? This is when advocates become scientists, or scientists become advocates, and they'll stop at nothing to prove their truth. But if it's true, why does it have to rest on falsified information? All right, here's Jordan Peterson on identity politics, race protests. Drop your cult-like affiliations and sort out your own life first. And the beginning is a question from a student, and this is from a lecture.
Charlottesville had, you know, with the initial purpose of protecting the statue was a good thing. I don't know about Confederacy except for the big thing, but honestly, it's a slippery slope, and the confused souls who, and the bad, like, just darkened souls, for sure, not good. They screwed it up big time, because the purpose behind it is so important, because it's going to be Founding Fathers next. Anyone who ever contributed anything to Western civilization as we know it is already being done. James Madison High School in the States is getting renamed because one student felt unsafe. And so, yeah, this is a serious issue. And I want to, like, I feel like we're really up against the wall now, because now they found their Nazis, man. The Nazis are flooding the streets now. So how do we possibly, you know, kind of save our cakes?
You had to bring it up, didn't you? Well, having the right degenerate into identity politics does not seem to be a positive solution. So one of the things I would say is that, like, I understand why the identity politics that has been practiced so assiduously and so devastatingly by the left has been co-opted by the right. I understand that. But then here's what I would say to the people on the right who are playing that game. If you play the game of your enemies and you win their game. You don't win. That's not victory. You just become the most successful exponent of their pathology. But how is that a good thing? It's a bad thing. So what does that leave people as an alternative? Well, I don't think that the Caucasians, let's say, should revert to being white. I think that's a bad idea. It's a dangerous idea, and it's coming fast. And I don't like to see that. I think the whole group identity thing is seriously pathological. I think we've made big mistakes in Canada. I understand why, at least to some degree in that respect, and that large mistakes are being made all over the Western world, where we're making your group identity the most important thing about you. I think that's reprehensible. I think it's devastating. I think it's genocidal in its ultimate expression. I think it will bring down our civilization if we pursue it. We shouldn't be playing that game. So what's the alternative? You know, I've thought for a long time about a political career, really, forever, since I was like 12, really, for a long time. And I've always decided against it, because it seemed to me that the proper level of analysis with regards to the solution of the problem that we're facing isn't political. And that's why I think it's a mistake when what I'm doing gets politicized, either by me or others. I think that the way that you deal with this is to put yourself together. I really believe that, is that because I think that individual people are far more powerful. They're certainly far more evil than they're willing to consider. But that's also a sign of their unbelievable power. So I think that what you do is you aim high and put yourself together and stay the hell away from the ideologues, because they're hiding. They're hiding behind a wall. They're not able to come out and fight on their own behalf. And so the way forward through the ideological mess, and that's the lesson of Western culture, is to place the individual at the place of paramount importance and to make the group identity emerge only when necessary and secondarily, if ever. And so you can do that. You can do that now. You can do that tomorrow. Like, you can put your life together. And again, as I mentioned to the other young man who asked the question, is you won't hurt anyone doing that, right? Pick up your goddamn responsibility. Sort yourself out. Fix up your family, right? And then you can be a force for good in the culture. And if enough people do that, the ideological mess will just evaporate. It'll just disappear. I think that's the way you show people the right path forward, too, is that you say, well, look, we would like it so much if you could thrive as an individual. Drop your cult-like affiliation, right? Step out of the shadows, the demonic shadows, your ideological possession, and step forward as a fully developed person into the light. Do it by example. That's your best bet, man. So that's what it looks like to me.
A great clip there. So what I'm getting at, and just one more time, talking about this type of thing, don't confuse a criticism of Darwinism for rejection of science. Like the this is kept. Yeah, who's this? You just got a few seconds left.
This is O. I was just going to know that race stuff just needs to stop. I mean, when we go into war for this country, we all go in there as Americans, not as a certain color.
I hear you, O. Great, great point. Thanks for the call. All right, so apply this to anything that the left stands for, in anything that the right stands for the sake of the argument. When you have a topic that cannot be criticized, it's dangerous. It's very, very dangerous. And, this march into destroying the icons of the past, are you going to move from the Confederate generals and go burn down Monticello or Mount Vernon? Are you going to destroy George Washington? Where will it stop? Let's talk about it tomorrow. Let's pick it up tomorrow. Have a great day. Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces. Ciao.